No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir? I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed this week for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Captain Keith is not with us this week, and if you listened to last week's show, you probably realize he's on a quest to find his flying motorcycle.
Because, flying motorcycle?
Yeah. I found this on the web last week, and he just lit up, man, and disappeared. So we'll find out if he actually has... You know, achieved his goal of finding one of these puppies and combining his love of motorcycles and planes.
Well, you know, they did have flying motorcycles. If you go back to Battlestar Galactica 1980,
right?
They had flying motorcycles in that.
No, but this is real, Ed.
That was real too. Come on.
Okay. All right. So Ed's been away for the last couple of weeks, and obviously been on a drinking binge.
I was in the Keys.
Exactly. Okay. And that's pretty much a prerequisite if you go to that area.
There's nothing else to do.
True. No, you got some good snorkeling in there.
Yeah. Thanks to you. We went to Captain Slate's and he took us out and he had a good snorkel trip.
There you go. Yeah.
Saw some of the cool wildlife under the sea.
Absolutely. So, hey, are you talking about Captain Slate or?
No.
Okay. The marine life. Yeah. Captain Slate is worth the price of admission to go down and
We had a blast.
Dive with that him as well. CaptainSlate.com, by the way. He's a good friend of mine. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to cover on the show today. We're preparing for Air Venture. At least I am.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to head out there and cover the show as well as I possibly can as a first-time attendee to this massive event.
Really will be in awe because, like I say, Son of Fun's good, mm-hmm.
but this is awesome.
Is just so much bigger. And we keep talking about that. And when you come back, I'll be interesting to see if you agree with me on, wow. It's everything that you could possibly want to see will be there.
Yeah, well, I have 2 days. I'm going to be there on the last 2 days of the show. Which
not
is
enough
not,
time.
I know. It's not going to even be close to enough time. But I'm going to give it a go.
Okay.
And I'm trying to plan out my strategy for covering as many areas as possible. And we'll just have to see what happens. It'll be a nice experiment at the bare minimum, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you get an idea of it so that maybe we can have a bigger presence next year.
Exactly. I'm going to go scope it out, see who I can, abuse and pick up some swag and some T-shirts and hats and things. But you'll hear all about it on the big show. But we got a lot of stuff to cover today. A lot of stuff going on in the news in the world of aviation. And a couple things we're going to dive into. Ways to beat the Grim Reaper. And that's not, like a plane crash kind of thing. These are actually health tips from our buddy Jonathan Sackier from AOPA.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into that today. Also, I got some more drone updates last week I was also talking about the bird drones. They got drones that actually look like flying birds now. They call
them B1RDs?
I believe so. That would be the proper way to address them from an aviator standpoint. Absolutely. But if you do flying bird drone on YouTube, you'll pull up these crazy videos. But there's actually a new one that was flown, I think it was at an air show overseas someplace.
Yeah.
I was talking about this last week, and it looks like a big bird in the sky. And it is a drone, and the guy's sitting there operating the whole thing. But if you weren't thinking about it, you'd think that was a big bird. Like a heron flying across Florida or something. And it's a friggin' drone. So, I was all concerned and I asked.
Does it transform into a car?
No, it's not a transformer.
Okay, just checking.
As far as I know. That'll probably be next week.
Okay.
But what I was bringing up to Keith last week about this, I was like, oh my gosh, I was concerned about drones. And now I got to be concerned about birds. But we're already concerned about birds, so maybe it'll take care of itself.
The birds will take out the drones.
So will that be considered a bird strike if we ever have an incident or a drone strike?
I think it would be both.
Evidently.
I'm sure there'll be an extra form for that.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. But there's a lot of crazy stuff going on with the FAA. Surprise! And we're going to dive into that a little bit later on in the show. But first, how to make a few bucks or save money on travel. A company in Boston has come up with a plan. They're called Air Pooler, you know, like a carpool, but this would be Air Pooler, based out of Boston. And I don't know, this isn't the first time this type of company has popped up, right?
Well, I'm not sure. This is kind of a little bit different. I mean, I've seen people try to do this with corporate jets.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it with a light airplane like they're talking about.
Yeah, like a 172. And when we first started training, I was talking to you about that. Like, well, hey, you know, once I got my pilot certificate, I grabbed some friends, I charge them a few $100, cover my fuel, and I can fly wherever I want to go. And he's like, no. It don't work like that. They don't let you do that unless you're a commercial carrier or a
Taxi operator.
Air taxi operator, right. And but you can get away with it from the standpoint if you charge everybody equally and you take a fair share of the fuel and everything.
Well, I mean, let's go back to your written test prep and Maggie's ground school. What was the key word?
For hire?
Well, no. If you could do it, the pilot had to pay their pro rata share,
right?
And what does that mean?
That means that you can't basically make everybody else pay for your free travel,
because then that would be compensation,
right?
Because you got flight time without paying for it, and that's the FAA's interpretation on that.
Kind of lame, FAA. Come on, really?
Well, in recently there's been some stories like that here in the Orlando area about a website, an app that you could, go on and request a ride, and somebody would, you know, list themselves out there that they get the request, they come pick you up, take you, drop you off wherever you want to go, basically like a taxi cab, but they weren't licensed like a taxi cab,
right?
And so the city of Orlando was all over them.
Yeah, it's like Uber. Is that the Uber car thing?
No, that's
a rental car kind of.
That's a rental car kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I know.
Which actually I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, true. Different ball game.
Yeah.
But
set of liability.
Right. But okay, it's just people trying to save a few bucks and carpool. And they're thinking, okay, could we apply this, you know, model to an airplane? So, you know, I don't know, on the surface it sounds okay, but when you get this thing off the ground, I know I some of the numbers they're running or promoting in this article that came out this week.
Yeah, what do they say for the Boston Martha Vineyard flight?
Yes, well, let's see. Yeah, Boston and a 172, so with three people and a pilot. Well, three people including a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Take 1.1 hours at a cost of $47 per person to get to Martha's Vineyard, which, an hour flight, one way. What?
That's $188. Divided by 1.1 comes out to $170 an hour for a 172.
That's possible.
It's a little high.
It is a little high.
It's a little high.
So that's wet. That's with fuel.
Well, you know, exactly. Yeah. So the question is, how new is the 172? You know, our brand new 172s are 159.
Mm-hmm.
And cost of fuel and so forth different in those areas. So that may not be out of reach. But now, if the pilot's not paying anything on that flight, and he's saying, okay, 47, 47, and 47, and he doesn't pay a dime, then no, he can't do that. So it sounds like they're trying to use the rule and make sure that the pilots are following the rule. And it sounds like they're trying to be just kind of the clearinghouse for it.
You know, how do they document that exactly? Because, like, let's say,
good question.
Yeah, I mean, what if you're the company that's renting the airplane and you say, yeah, for an hour wet for a 172, it's $250. And then
say it was us doing it, flight training professionals as a flight school.
Right.
I can charge customers differential rates for an airplane based on hours of the day. You know, I can give a discounted rate for
prime
evenings,
time, whatever.
You
know,
I could charge more if they wanted to rent the airplane to go to the Bahamas. Now, I choose not to because I try to keep things simple.
Right.
I'm not a complicated person. I like one rate, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I could charge a premium for those type of services. A lot of times that they'll charge premiums for flight instructors if they're doing more advanced training. So the group renting the airplanes, renting to this pilot who's pilot in command of the airplane, who's been properly checked out, qualified in the airplane, or it's a person who owns their own airplane, either or, doesn't matter. It's that pilot command who's flying that airplane that's going to have the responsibility of record keeping.
Okay. So the FAA or the IRS is coming after them if they don't like the numbers?
The FAA.
And they are going to figure out these numbers based on market value? Or it just seems a little subjective.
It's the FAA.
Could this be a viable solution? Time will tell. All right. Air Pooler is the name of the company. So, yeah, just Google it and find out more. All right. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deepwater Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deepwater Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwatercay.com. That's deepwatercay.com.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo.
Watch me get ready to fly. Watch me get ready to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals, ftpros.com, the website to go to and learn how to fly. All right, so a couple things that Ed, as a flight instructor, has ingrained into me as I try to learn how to fly. I haven't got there yet, but I'm still, I'm a pilot in training.
That's right.
Yeah. And so one of the things you said initially, going into this, I got my iPad. He said, we're going to use ForeFlight and a lot of apps and things, whether it's the E6B. Yeah. Right, from Sporties. And all
terminology is important, Greg.
Well, no, that's just a name. That's just a number. And, those could be easily interchanged. What the E6 7? When does that one come out?
10 out of 7 pilots are dyslexic.
Yeah, something like that. But one of the keys you kind of got to keep in mind is that this technology is making flying much easier and much more convenient with all the weather and the technology that we have our fingertips with your iPad and that kind of thing. But you got to understand they are computers, and all these updates keep coming out, and don't leave your iPad on automatic update.
Absolutely.
We had another incident, I don't know, a week or two ago. ForeFlight had a thing where they had an issue where something came out, and a lot of people had automatic updates on, and all of a sudden they couldn't get to their flight plan for a little bit. And they fixed it really quick and were very proactive about it and got it resolved almost instantly. However, it's just a perfect example of you don't want to have it on automatic update, because if you're out there in the middle of your flight plan and you've like, hey, I'm over here having my, you know, couple hundred dollar hamburger, and I got another leg back to my home airport, and all of a sudden you have a little problem with your flight plan on your iPad or the information that you need to access, it could create an issue for you, huh?
Yeah. Well, but it also goes back to technology is good as long as you know how to use it and you don't need it.
True. Backup.
Exactly.
Or have paper charts available to you or whatever.
You know, and this is, you know, should I at some day get my own personal airplane, it's going to have two of everything. It's going to have two transponders. It's going to have two GPSs. It's going to have, you know, two displays. It's going to have backup instruments. But I don't need them. I can get there without it.
Because you would just rely on dead reckoning type
pilotage
stuff.
And dead reckoning.
Absolutely.
And that's...
See, I get a banana for that.
You do. You absolutely do. Because I think that has sunk through, that the technology is there, but we have to teach the pilot to understand what's going on behind the screen or behind the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And this general orientation that if you're sitting out of Lake Apopka and you need to get back to executive, about what heading are you going to fly?
I'm going to head east.
Okay.
East, southeast-ish.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So that we're talking about, we got to realize that the technology is great because it makes things easier for us, but we can't just rely on it. We still have to have that basic foundation, that basic understanding of why it's doing what it's doing, so that if it does go away, which it can happen.
Sure.
And we just need to be prepared for that. And so it's like, well, I want it. I love it. I like having it, but I don't need it.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Your situational awareness. Always, you know, having that in mind, too. Well, you know, when I flew with Captain Alex there from the Cessna Discover
Flying Challenge.
Yeah, that one. I love the fact that we flew back out to Lake Apopka because it had been a while since we had done some flights. And, you know, it was like a typical training flight. Went out there and I knew exactly where we were the whole time. And I was actually telling him, like, okay, well, let's see, Disney is going to be over this way, and, well, Universal will be right over here, about there. And, I mean, it was amazing to me knowing that from the beginning of the first couple flights, not having any idea where the hell I was.
You described yourself as you needed a GPS to find your house.
Exactly. I mean, because I just had no reference before seeing Orlando from the sky.
Yeah.
I had never done that. And, I mean, I might as well have been in another country. Because nothing looked familiar to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how quickly you can pick it up after a few flights, and you've run the pattern a few times, and you've run this route between Lake Apopka and your home airport or Orlando Executive, and it kind of sinks in a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, it felt good. It actually felt like, hey, I have retained a little bit.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So there's another
video
banana.
Footage to prove and audio to prove all this stuff.
It's right there at justplainradio.com. You saw the video, didn't you?
Yeah, but it didn't have everything in it.
Oh, it had.
I think there was some editing there.
What are you talking about?
There were places where the video skipped you from one place to another.
No, that was just.
I want to know what happened in the. I want to look at the stuff on the cutting room floor.
No, those were just pauses. There was nothing cut out of any substance. I just literally cut out the blank spaces of us just, staring into the wild blue yonder. Wistfully.
I'm thinking this isn't going to be great video. My old favorite saying, bovine scatology.
No, I'm telling you, I didn't cut out anything of importance that made me look bad.
Oh, now you're making it deeper, man. None of us buy that.
Nothing. I swear to you, there is nothing.
No.
But no, it was a fun flight. But, it was just kind of cool to kind of reflect back on, you know, the fact that, I did remember a lot of this. But, yeah, once you're familiar with a particular area, definitely you don't have to rely on the equipment hardly at all. Now, I was kind of looking at the gear, you know, looking at the displays there in that new Cessna quite a bit because it was having all this kind of crazy information.
Can I get YouTube on this?
Like, wait, yeah, where is it? What are we looking at? What is that? Oh, my gosh, that is too crazy, you know?
Well, but, you know, the other thing is you're saying, you know, you get familiar with an area, but it really will at some point transcend that. There'll be this sense of direction that you will get that you'll be okay. Where's the sun? Okay, it's over there. It's this time of day, so right. I'm more or less heading east, or I'm more or less heading north.
Yeah,
and you will be able to really get that general orientation that a pilot really needs, and we can't forget to teach that to our pilots as they come up through the ranks.
Is right,
that, you know, all else fails is. Where's the sun? Where's the water? You know, where's the ocean? Let's look at the map. Let's see what's on the ground. Okay, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Now I know where I'm at. Now, okay, I got to head this way to get where I want to go.
Right, but I can see you getting a little bit lazy as a beginner pilot and relying on this technology where, you know, he showed me in the new 172 on the G1000 where we just fly through the box.
Oh, yeah, synthetic vision.
Yeah, and I was just like, well, wait a minute. This is too easy. This is closer to Xbox than it is flying the plane. Might work great for my kid, but hey, I'm an old fart, and I suck at Xbox. And I was a challenge to keep it in the box.
Yeah, I saw you fly your flight simulator here.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I totally understand what you mean by that.
Okay. Yeah, so it's an old school thing. It's not really me. It's just, you know, we're...
No, it's just really you.
Is it? That figures.
I actually, the people turn those on the Skycatcher and I turn it off. It's like, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Look outside, fly here.
Look outside. Enjoy the scenery. It's much more detailed and real.
Yeah.
Okay, 5 ways to beat the Grim Reaper. We're going to delve into them next. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
Okay, so Jonathan Sackier is like the medical guy for AOPA Live and for their TV show and for AOPA. You know, he'll go to a lot of events. Real neat guy, by the way. If you ever have the opportunity to go talk to Jonathan, definitely take the opportunity. Very personable guy, and he loves talking to folks. Mm-hmm. But he put out an article I saw this week on 5 ways to beat the Reaper, which I'm like, what? And, as always, he's on his soapbox of trying to, you know, make pilots safer by being more healthy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, okay, that could apply to our crew here at Just Plane Radio, just a tad, present company.
Included.
Yeah. So here we're going to run through these, and some of them are not as obvious as others.
Hmm.
The first one he lists is get a dog. You have 2.
I've got 2.
Right.
I'm going to live forever.
And I don't have a dog. I have a cat. So evidently he has something against cat people. No, it says cats have the same effect. But the research has shown that if you sit and, you know, pet your dog, your blood pressure will drop and this will undoubtedly be good for your health. So, you know, get a dog, get a cat.
See, I've had dogs for 20 some years. Well, all but maybe 5 or 6 years of my life.
Yeah. You've never had a stroke and your blood pressure is good enough.
No.
No?
I'm on blood pressure medicine.
All right. Okay. Well, so you need
it's a family history thing. Right,
so Captain Ed needs a third dog. And
oh, well, let's tell my wife that. See what kind of reaction you get, Greg.
He doesn't say this, but I'm wondering if like a hermit crab would count. Something smaller and a little less messy.
No.
You know, something you could still pet a hermit crab or hamster. I don't know. Something not quite as big something you have to commit to as big as a dog or a cat. All right, so that's one. Get a dog, get a pet. That kind of thing could help you out. Here's number 2. Eat salmon. So, so don't make your pet a fish.
Yeah.
Unless it's a salmon, and so you can eat it. But they say, you know, research is in.
Then don't name your salmon.
More fish rich in oils are good for your diet, and that includes salmon, tuna, halibut, and so on. So there's 2. We got 3 more to go. We'll share them next. Make you a healthier flyer right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
How soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean I'm just not sure.
Well, can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away. They say, come fly with me, let's fly away.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. Okay, five easy ways to beat the Reaper. That's what our buddy Jonathan Sackier wrote this week in an article from AOPA.
So let's go back to this salmon thing. I'm not a fish eater.
You're not a fish eater. What's wrong with you? You like tuna?
No.
Don't like fish at all?
No, it tastes like fish.
Well, he doesn't say you have to use all five ways. These are just five potential ways you can use to be a healthier flyer. Beat the Grim Reaper.
Okay.
So, I don't know, maybe you give fish a chance.
Yeah, we were down
there a song
down
like
the
that?
Keys, they caught some grouper and I tried some. And it's just the same. Yuck.
Yeah, you're not.
I mean, they caught it that day. We ate it that night. It can't get any fresher than that. Yuck.
You just didn't like it.
I don't like fish. I mean, lobster? Shrimp?
Hmm.
Doesn't say anything about that, does he?
No, I don't think that counts. We're looking for the omega-3 fatty acids in fish. So, you know, here's my suggestion to you. You're not eating the right fish, or I should say, you're not going to the right chef, because there's people that can fix up fish that make it taste like steak. So
and shark tasted good.
Really? You like shark? I don't know if shark counts or not.
I don't think it does.
I've
heard people say that about tuna, though. Tuna steaks.
Yeah. What? Of course. Yeah, mahi-mahi. I've had amazing fish. You just got to find the right chef, man. The right fish chef. Or fix it up a different kind of way. You just haven't had it the right way, I'm telling you. Because you can put a little Tony Satchery's, spice on that from Louisiana and just kick it up a notch. And it'll change the way you feel about fish. How about that? That's what I put on my lobster. There's a little tip for you. Blackened Cajun kick to it or something.
Ooh, that sounds good.
So there you go. So that might help.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to die, Ed.
So dunking the lobster in butter is bad?
It's not listed on here.
But I'm thinking it might be.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's two. Get a dog, eat salmon. Here, let's go to number three. Learn how to eat. At the risk of sounding horribly preachy, Jonathan says, a majority of people not only eat poor foods, they do so poorly. And this contributes to obesity. So it's not necessarily about the right diet, but eating good foods the right way.
Well, we'll give us some examples, because I thought I ate just fine.
He says, for instance, modern meals at restaurants are way too big, so use smaller plates, so you'd eat less food.
Yeah.
Finishing everything on your plate, like your mother used to say.
Well, my grandmother.
Because people are starving in Africa. Exactly.
Send the plate over.
It actually was a bad message. But it registered with a lot of kids and adults from back in the day, especially. And because of that, we have a tendency to overeat. So.
Now this is kind of interesting, because I've dealt with a lot of Europeans when they come over for training, and they were always amazed at the huge portions that we would get,
mm-hmm.
And not too many of them were overweight.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
And they didn't necessarily eat all chicken or all turkey they were eating red meats. They were eating all kinds of stuff, but they just weren't eating as much. So I believe that. I like to say, and that's where, go out to the restaurant, half is for today, the other half's for tomorrow.
Well, you could do it like that, or just say, I'm going to leave something on the plate. The other tip he says is, like, you know, why not eat the healthier things first? So if you have, like, steak and broccoli or something, like, eat the broccoli first, and then, you know, use the steak second, and maybe leave that off. You know what I'm saying? And Ed's
that's
looking
un-American.
At me like, that ain't going to happen.
That's un-American.
What, are you kidding me? Well, that's one
idea. Well, I don't order steak out because nobody can cook it as well as I can.
Well, okay. Fair enough. And the other thing is, it's about timing. So know when to eat. Don't wait too long for when you're, you know, starving, and you'll have a tendency to overeat as well. So a few little tips in there. And you can go to AOPA and get Jonathan's article to get even more details on that. But the basic thing he's saying with this one is just learn how to eat healthy, and just a few tips like that. All right. Another one. This comes in at number 4. Flex those muscles. Exercise will help you sleep better, improves the function of every part of the body, and helps maintain a healthy weight.
I agree.
That's pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, I there was a time where I was not doing much, and then I got in back. Well, I was getting ready to go on that hike with the Boy Scouts a few years back, and so mm-hmm. I really got into it, dropped some significant weight. I felt better. And I, you know, and since then I've been trying to stay with the, you know, 3 to 4 times a week at the gym, 20-30 minutes on the treadmill, get the cardio going, and it does make me feel better. It gives me more energy.
Yeah. Well, go to the gym, walk, just do something.
Yeah.
Get out there and move. It will. It'll make you feel better. And yeah, I believe in that as well. Okay. And then number 5. He says the fifth thing you need to do to beat the Grim Reaper. Is dream. And I'm like, what? What are you talking? Oh, you know, he means sleep, actually. Dream. So sleep is critically important to every part of your day, and every study shows Americans are not getting enough of it.
We bring back the siesta.
Poor sleep patterns lead to all sorts of health problems and a shortened lifespan. So there you go. Get a little bit more sleep. Actually, there was a report I saw this week in the mainstream media that said, you know, you used to be like they recommend you at least get 8 hours of sleep every night. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying, no, that's not necessarily true. 7 will do it. So there you go. So that's an achievable goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7, you know, you go much longer than 8 or 9, then you're it's backfiring on you. But if you can get 7. Or,
yeah, I'm usually getting 7 to 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm fine, and you mm-hmm. know, now vacation, I was getting a good hour nap in, and on top of that, that was
well. Naps
great.
Don't count; those are naps. Those aren't sleeps or dreams. You know, no, naps don't.
Naps don't count.
No, they don't count to your sleep time, as far as I'm concerned, because you can never have too many of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the more naps, the healthier you are. I'm pretty sure that's.
Then you should be like be, yeah, looking the, 10 years younger than you are.
Naps are good.
Yeah.
Siesta in the afternoon. Why not?
If you can pull off. On a day off, if you can get a nap in, that's a great day off.
I'm hip. Naps are the best.
You know you're getting older when you have to get the nap in on your regular work day, too.
Yeah, true. And unfortunately, I don't get enough of those. But it gives me something to look forward to for the weekend.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So there you go. 5 tips, maybe even 6, if you include naps as its own separate category, to make you a healthier pilot and live longer. Avoid the Grim Reaper. All right. Now, a couple other things we got to dive into on the show today. One is, you know, one of my favorite topics to cover on this show, and that is drones.
No, no, not again.
Yeah, you know, well, we talked about the flying bird earlier, yeah. But, you know, the thing is, the FAA got hit with another a decision this week on how to regulate the drones because, you know, they sent these, like, cease and desist orders of people that were flying drones. One company was a search and recovery company that was...
Yeah, Equisearch.
Yeah, exactly. And they challenged the FAA and went to court about it. And guess what? They won. The FAA, the court found out the FAA didn't have any jurisdiction to tell them to stop because there are no rules. They're currently trying to come up with the rules. And the FAA sent them an email saying, hey, you need to stop this. But the judge came back and said, well, that really wasn't a cease and desist letter. It was just like... You should stop, but we're not going to tell you what we're going to do to you. It was more of like a threat mm-hmm. that had no had no teeth to it, evidently.
Yeah.
So now the FAA is back. You know, the FAA is still claiming, well, this still means that we have control over the airspace. And I don't know. It's like they're both saying they won. What's going on there? Are you making any sense of this or not?
It's the FAA.
Right.
We're not supposed to understand.
Uh-huh.
The FAA is not an organization that has historically been forward-thinking or ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
They are reactionary in nature, as are really all governmental agencies. We have the saying that the federal aviation regulations are written in blood, that something went wrong that caused a safety issue that they then turned around and made a rule.
They made a rule, but in this case, well, I don't even know if they made a rule. They just said you can't do it.
Yeah.
And then the court said, yeah, they can. How that becomes a win for both sides, I don't know. And we'll keep covering it accordingly right here on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Now go, fly, be free.
Time for me to fly. Oh, I got to set myself free.
Time for me to fly.
Now that's just how it's got to be. I know it hurts to say goodbye, but it's time for me to fly.
There's a lot of aviation news going on in the world, especially this week. You know, we haven't talked about this Israeli-Palestinian conflict going on and the fact that they closed down the Israeli airport this week.
They didn't close down the airport.
Well, that's right. They didn't close. The FAA put out a notice telling U.S. carriers not to go there.
Yeah, they put out a temporary flight restriction.
A TFR.
So the airlines had to comply with it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there's a really neat track of a Delta flight that was, you know,
almost there.
Yeah, almost there.
It's a final descent, I believe. They said within an hour or something.
Yeah, and they turned back, went back to France.
Yeah,
and that's unheard of. You know, that they will advise areas that we shouldn't go based on dangerous conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are no fly zones put up. You know, when we were in the Iraqi war, there was a no fly zone, and there were military airplanes enforcing it that nobody could fly through that airspace.
Yeah.
But in this instance, you know, they're not controlling that airport. The airport remained open.
Right.
They just said U.S. flights can't go there. U.S. air carriers could not go there.
And that was because one of the rockets came in from the Gaza Strip and within a mile, supposedly, of the airport. Miles, yeah. And that was their reasoning for doing this. However, it's interesting. Israelis have actually said that they let that rocket go through the Iron Dome because they knew it was going to land in an area that wasn't going to create as much damage. That's what they're saying now. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's interesting to hear the other side of the story, whether it's accurate or not, or this is all propaganda. That's anybody's question. In this situation, too, you got some people that are wondering if there are politics at play on this FAA decision as well, because, I don't know, you may have seen Secretary of State John Kerry made that off-the-cuff comment that was captured on film or on video. He made some comment about, there was Israeli bombs going off in Gaza and weren't as pinpoint accurate as they should be, and kind of showed a little bit of a bias against, like, hey, Israel should stop doing this, and kind of going after them a little bit to put pressure on them to stop the conflict.
I don't doubt that could be part of it.
Yeah. It shouldn't be going on, but, you know, that's where the conspiracy theory issues come into play on this a little bit, too.
The other thing is that, there's a reaction to the Malaysian airline flight in the Ukraine.
Right.
I mean, that has never happened before.
Right.
And so could we be gun shy? Yeah, maybe it's rightfully so.
Yeah, literally.
You
don't take any chances.
Would I have thought of that being a possibility in getting on an international flight and going somewhere? I mean, is it a possibility? I guess it is. Yeah. And 3 weeks ago, people weren't thinking that way.
Yeah,
Look what happened when the U.S. made their decision and the FAA made their decision. Look at what happened. Airlines from around Europe, not governments, just airlines from around Europe, did the same thing.
Right. Well, Air the U.S. France, is doing it, so we should do it, too.
Lufthansa. Yeah. And they said, nope, we're going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I think about all the people that are already over there. They had flights coming back and... there's a lot of fallout from that one decision.
Absolutely.
And could have been politically driven, maybe. Could have been just flat out, hey, we never thought about that happening before. I know for a fact that pretty good sources that El Al and in the Israeli state airline, they have contingencies for missile attacks.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, they've been preparing for that for years.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I was going to say, anyone flying to Israel right now probably has an idea that there's some stuff going down that's going to be a little shaky. Not that they're expecting their flight to be blown out of the sky, obviously. But these contingencies you're talking about, are you talking about one of these planes with the rocket launcher things that have trails off of them? You heard about that too, right? They want to. There was some guy on the news after this thing for the Malaysian airliner went down, and came out and said we need to equip all commercial planes with anti-aircraft devices. Basically,
they call it chaff.
Is that the thing? The rockets that kind of shoot off and distract the.
Yeah, and they provide enough of a heat signature that should distract the missile and allow the airplane.
It's a very James Bond kind of thing, or you might see it on the movie True Lies. or something.
Well, no, you actually will see it on one of those Air Force One movies where they're
right,
they're trying
exactly
to shoot it down or yeah, something like yeah, that. Yeah. That and it, I guarantee it is equipped. Mm-hmm. And you will see military.
But the Israeli planes, do they have that? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're alluding
to?
That's
the rumor that I've heard.
Oh, interesting.
It comes from a pretty good source.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, it's an unfortunate situation on all sides. Yeah. I mean, in FAA, if you want to felt they overreacted, I mean, you can't really blame them either.
No.
Because, yeah, God forbid if something did happen and then they hadn't done anything.
If I was the one making that decision within the FAA, if it was made within the FAA, I probably would have made the same decision.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough one. That's a tough call.
It's better to make that decision and take the heat for it than have the opportunity to make the decision and choose not to do it and something happen.
Yeah. Well,
and
true.
That's my type of judgment.
Yeah.
In most cases.
And well, we'll just have to leave it at that for now and let time play out as it will. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.